Yo, yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back for another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Night two, approximately 12:03 a.m. I guess day two, you know, comes to a close formally with free agency, but a crazy hectic day has gone on. Obviously, we spoke this morning, Drake and I, on the news of Mike Gesicki and Joe Mixon. Let's just say a lot of shit has developed since then. Yeah. Drake, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, I'm doing good. What's so crazy is you asked me before the episode, like, have you slept, Drake? And I actually took a little nap after the Mike Gesicki signing. So I took a little nap. And what's funny is I had a tweet up, and it said Joey B recruiting. Or no, it said 9 recruiting. Just something very clean cut, dry. So then we signed Mike Gesicki, which was crazy. And then I go to sleep. And I wake up after, you know, a nice little power nap. And that's when the fucking JJ shit was just, like, blowing up, bro. Like, I wake up and I'm just seeing it from, like, Kay Adams and all these different people. And I'm just like, what? Like, what? What is going on? Like,
yeah,
just a chaotic day, man. And, I mean, yeah, it kind of has started with the community in a way. But, I mean, the tweet, actually, I want you to read that tweet. I think the listeners, if, you know, they might not pay attention to your Twitter account a lot, yeah, you know, relating to the Justin Jefferson situation, because you cooked on that tweet. I think every point that you had in that tweet was like point for point on why the Bengals could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. We'll get to it, bro. Let's see. So I'm pulling up my Twitter now. Let's see. I don't want to go down that path yet, but we'll definitely talk about DJ Reader later in this episode. So yeah, bro, let's see. I tweeted a ton of shit today. Going down. So yeah, I mean, as I'm finding it, bro, we'll talk about it like this. How did this come up? So it's probably around noon or one today. You know, look, man, you know, we got a lot of the same people that are in the space, right? We got so many incredible Bengals fans, so many knowledgeable fans.
Yeah.
Like, we preach it all the time, guys. Like, if you are not on Twitter Spaces, you want to get in live connection with live conversation with legit valuable insight. Like, not to discredit a lot of other people, but
it's honestly one of the greatest, like, social media inventions, if I'm being honest.
Bro, it is incredible. That's exactly right. Like, you get such a close, you know, connection with that stuff.
It's just entertaining, too. Like, I don't know. I can go on a space, bro, and I can just listen to you guys talk for hours, bro. Like, say I'm at work, and I just turn it on. Bro, it passes so much time. Like, oh, wait, 2 hours just flew by? Now I only have 2 hours left to work? Okay. You know what I mean?
Hey. Thank you, bro. That's exactly right. So there's a testament right there, guys. Like, if you are not on Twitter Spaces, it lets time fly by. It's such a blast to talk with the people. I've gained incredible, you know, friendships and relationships with a lot of the people on there. And today, specifically, when Zim hosted Space, Zim, if you're listening, bro, you're both Drake and I's dog for sure. It's the energy, bro. Like, we're both really high energy guys. I know Zim, you know, there's a lot of polarization with Zim, right? As he knows as well as anybody. So, you know, not sure if you guys are crazy fans of him. Nonetheless, he was running the space. We were getting hyped. Something came up with the JJ topic. He knows that I've been the one to really run with this shit. Not that other people haven't, but, like, I get kind of crazy with it for, like, a year now. Mm. And I guess something came up today. And, you know, he kind of ignited it. Was like, oh, shit, you know, V-Thing's got to go run with it. So I did, you know, and we both have fun with it and a lot of other people, you know, just talking about the realities like this. And that leads to the tweet I ended up making to kind of lay it out. So steps to Justin becoming a Bengal, we've talked about it before on this pod, but I'll really break them down here. There's lots of steps, but I got 9 here. What a coincidence. One of them is if Kirk leaves, it would bring even more questions to his commitment to the Vikings' future, right? Because about a year ago, Justin said, after his season ended, obviously it was a frustrating way to end the season for the Vikings last year, 2 years ago, I guess. They get smoked by the Giants. They were the second seed, blah, blah, blah. He was really nonchalant with his future. He sounded like just a guy. And we talked about this a lot on the pod. You don't approach it like I'm just a guy. You know you're the guy. Like, you and Kirk are the guys. And he said, I'll go where I'm wanted. That was non-committal. He's been non-committal all along. Now he's even more non-committal. There's been some inklings that frustration is legitimately brewing, but that's not verified, so I'm not even going to go that far. So with that, number two, kind of with what I just said, him not signing his extension because he's not in a rush to sign with someone he's not committed to. So Kirk gone, raises the non-committal. Number three, him not liking the structure of that deal that he was offered by the Vikings a few times, started last year, even to now. Yet, a player with his same agent, Joe Burrow, signed a deal he'd be much more inclined to sign. A sign, Justin wants long-term security. Or he can also maybe operate with an incredible signing bonus. So you choose. Joe Burrow technically does not have many guarantees at all in year three or beyond. I don't know if many people know that with the contract structure. He doesn't. Because his signing bonus was what, $131.5 million? Something like that? Like, insane. Like, are you okay with $131.5 million put into your bank account in about 24 hours? Are you okay with that?
Cool. I think I might be willing to say, yeah, you know, let it slide.
That, yeah, right? Like, does it really matter? So that's another one. Four, here's a big kicker. This is the ... situation. He needs to demand a trade if doubt continues to stack. And that's a whole twisted web type thing. So we'll get to that later. Five, Bengals have $30 million plus in cap space right now. Right now to spend. That's not saying, oh, but draft picks. Oh, but the Bengals have to roll over $10, $15 million. Already accounted for all of it. After tagging $2 million to afford them. The Bengals have 10 picks now. You acquired another 7 from the Texans. Shout out to Joe Mixon. And you have the extra 3. So now you have 10 picks. They can offer T. Higgins, their 18th pick, and a 3rd. That's essentially 2 firsts and a 3rd. I think they'd be able to get it done. Or if you really want to, take our 2nd, too. We have 2/3. If you want. We got assets. The Bengals can comfortably afford the cap hit for JJ this season, as the hit would likely cost as much as T's tag. $22 million cap hit. But they have a ton of fucking cash to spend. How much cash has the Bengals spent this offseason, Drake? Barely any. The Bengals have been top 3 in cash in the last 4 seasons, bro.
Yeah.
They have cash. So what is correlative with cash? Signing bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I've made their deals. Vikings could move up to 4th overall to take their quarterback with giving picks 11 and 18 from, you know, 18 from the Bengals to the Cardinals. Pair a young quarterback with T. Higgins, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hawkinson? Yeah. Aaron Jones and a good O-line and Kevin O'Connell and a Brian Flores defense. The Bengals can afford all 3 of the stars to form the most dominant trio in the league that this league has ever seen. It's a long tweet. I broke it all down, and it's blown up.
You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I didn't know if I lost you for a second.
Nah, bro, all good. No, I'm done. That's some of the main things I have. There's even more. But with those things, everything I just laid out of those, I got check marks next to all of them. Not that they're done. Of course, those things are substantial things, by the way. But they're legitimate things. These are things.
Yeah, I think everything that you said on the tweet, like if you read it word for word, it was, I mean, it's just, it's a perfect tweet with the check marks next to it. It's valid. And when you think about it, like, think about it, B-Thangs, like, Bengals and Vikings. If any team in the NFL had the opportunity to get this deal done, it makes sense for both sides. This is it. You know, the Bengals, they have T. Higgins, a high-end wide receiver one that they, you know, that they can't get a deal done with because of the agent, because of the financials. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you move in to a situation like, I don't know, but for some reason, bro, I just have a feeling. Like, you saw it with Patrick Mahomes today. Restructuring, right? to clear up like 20 million in cap space. Think about it. Think about this, bro. We already have money. We're already top 10, top five in cap space. Bro, if Joe Burrow restructured too, I'm not saying that that's happening, but
no.
Something that could happen, I would not doubt that if he wanted to get the band back together. Dude, I can't even imagine an offense with JJ, Mike Gesicki. Oh, dude.
And Joe. And Joe. Not hear you, bro. Yeah, crazy. Yeah, craziest part is the because not enough people have thought that. Guys, $22.1 million for the that's a hard 22.1. You can't flex it, can't pay it up front, can't formulate it in any different way. Come July 15th, when the franchise tag is due, the following business day. Boom, $22.1 million, subtract tax into your bank account. Congratulations, Stevens. That's how the franchise tag operates. But if a trade would somehow crazily get orchestrated with JJ, cash to cap is not the same thing. That's why you just brought up the restructure. You can work around that. Some people say the cap doesn't exist. It does exist because there are hard numbers that according, you know, that are with the NFLPA, you have to apply to the cap. But a signing bonus, here's a simple concept for you guys. A signing bonus. Formulation of money up front, a fat bag of cash that the Bengals language-wise cut up throughout the life. So say if Joe Burrow's I don't even remember what it was. It may have been 131.5 signing bonus up front. We'll just say 150 to make numbers simple. 5 years of the duration of the deal. Joe Burrow received $150 million subtract tax into his bank account in about 48 hours. But through language, throughout the life of the deal, each year, that will be divided by five. So it'll be $30 million added cap each year towards a signing bonus. But he already got the money because that's the language of, you know, through the NFLPA of contract structures operate. So the base salary can be very low. Orlando Brown's salary last year, remember, $31 yep. million dollar guaranteed signing bonus. His base salary was like $1.5 million. Patrick Mahomes' base salary this year is low as shit. Josh Allen's base salary is low as shit. It's because they paid the cash now. So there's ways to manipulate the cap. You can't beat it. You can't do that. So you flex it. With JJ, you can flex with the signing bonus. With the cash you're willing to spend to make the cap even longer. If you would somehow trade for JJ this year, right now, you would have more money to spend. Cap-wise, technically, if you wanted to get a guy. But then again, like, how much more cash would the Bengals be willing to give out? Like, after about, like, $60 million, maybe, or $50 million signing bonus to JJ? It can work, dude. It can work.
And the thing is, bro, I just – it's one of those things where we look at it and it's like, bro, it's so unrealistic. It's like, you know, the general assumption is like it's a dream, but it's probably not going to happen, which is the case in a way. But, bro, I think this is, like, the opportunity. Like, this is the opportunity to get this done. And, I mean, that's not to say Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase are going to be playing with Joe Burrow for the rest of their careers, because that'd be crazy. But if you can get these guys in here in their prime, even for 3 to 4 years, bro, you need to get your first ring, bro. You're going to secure your ring, bro. Yep. And you're not having to sell your soul, really. I mean, you might have to give up a couple first, bro, but like, I don't know. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I think it's just this is something you could not pass up if like Minnesota comes calling you like, hey, which it would have to be the other way around. But or if, like you said, it would have to come to JJ stepping up and requesting trade, which I would not be surprised if that came out at any point. Because,
yeah,
dude, Kirk Cousins is gone.
Yep.
This dude, like, Justin Jefferson is a winner, bro.
Hey.
Justin, like, yeah.
According to ML Football, I don't know how viable they are. Yeah. Like, I don't really know. But I didn't even saw this. I didn't even see this till about an hour ago. Zim put it on a story that about a day ago. They tweeted, Justin is not happy right now. So, and obviously that could largely be Kirk, right?
Yeah.
But really to a bit more. It's not just I'm pissed that Kirk's gone. It's like...
it's general assumption, bro. I feel like it's almost like common sense. That's like if Jamar Chase was fucking here and we decided, hey, you know what? Jake Browning looked good last year. We're going to just cut Joe Burrow.
Yeah. Nah,
not cut Joe Burrow, but, you know, say Joe Burrow, just let Joe walk.
Yeah, let him walk. Yeah.
Like, Jamar knows. He knows that's not, it's not a serious situation. And some guys are, you know, compelled to be drawn to the back. But as you said, B-Thanks, you come to him, you say, hey, man, you have $50 million in your bank account tomorrow when you wake up.
Yeah.
Like, yep. That's the type of stuff that I think interests players, really. I mean, obviously, you want to get the most guaranteed money over, you know, a long-term deal. But, bro, I don't know. I just think this is the opportunity. And I think there's not another team that really suitably fits. I mean, sure, a team could call them up and be like, hey, we'll give you all of this right now to get JJ. But I think the Bengals and Vikings, both sides, it makes sense because the Vikings are not, it's not like they're just giving up JJ and now they have to solely rely on drafting a guy. No, you get a proven commodity in T. Higgins. You already pair him up next to Jordan Addison. You know, like you have good receivers there. And as you pointed out, you can take those picks and move up because, you know, we would have to give up picks, but take those picks, move up, get your quarterback of the future.
That's it, bro.
And that's the only way, right? That's the only way that they possibly could move up in the first to get their future quarterback.
I mean, they could, like, if they wanted to, you could say 2025 first if we're committed.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. Here is the thing that, I mean, I don't know if the Vikings can get to the top three. It's almost surefire that, the Patriots. Quarterback, right? They got Jacoby Brissett. That ain't shit. Yeah. It's pretty clear that these picks are taking the top three quarterbacks. We all know who those guys are. You know, Williams, May, and Daniel. The thing is with McCarthy that like a team like the Raiders or something could swoop in for the Vikings and scare them for JJ McCarthy if they really like him. Because the Vikings clearly need a quarterback. That's their biggest priority right now. Like, because they need to secure long-term future.
Yeah.
I could imagine, of course, if any other guy had a quarterback that they see the best for their long-term future with, it's JJ. But, I mean, the quarterback for everything. Priority is quarterback. You secure that with trading up to number 4 with the Cardinals. With pick 11 and 18 you get from the Bengals, you have T. Higgins, Jordan Addison. You have T. Higgins who fits fucking perfectly into that offense, bro. You have Jordan Addison who provides you something completely different. Jordan Addison is like a mixture of Jamar and TB. More TB with Jamar, with some Jamar-like traits on a value. That quality guy to, you know, work alongside T. They're not the same guys. You know, it's not like T is like a clone of Jordan Addison. You get a different, you know, wrinkle in a player that, you don't have as much. You're probably paying them $8 million less a year, less guarantees. And you know, I mean, you're able to make that work. You're able to get a premium fucking talent.
Yeah.
And you're able to get premium assets to secure your guy. You know, I think that's worth it, man. Like, and we'll throw them maybe even a second if they want it. So, yeah, like, look, dude, look. So much talk
Before we close that up, though, we didn't talk about Eifert. How did you feel about Eifert's comments? Because Tyler Eifert was talking about it a lot today.
Today, bro. So many rabbit holes I saw. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think he's got some sources. How connected? I don't know. Is that my place? I don't really know. I mean, I don't ever remember like Eifert completely shaking something up with proof they early. I don't know.
Well, shit. What if this is the Eifert beginner tour?
Yeah. Looks like you're on a beginner tour too. You know. You know what? I'ma just say it, bro. I'ma just say it. I'ma say it, dude. We can text if we want. We'll figure it out. Maybe not even enough people, you know, listen this far. Guys, we don't know 100% true, but credit to Drake. JJ is in Cincinnati tonight. I'ma just say it. He's at Jeff. Posey said he was there 2 hours ago through a verified source from.
No, it wouldn't have been 2 hours ago. It probably would have been.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, more than 2 hours ago.
Probably 4 hours ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was the bomb that Drake and I were not expecting, and because look, like what
Drake. I think. Sorry to interrupt you. I think like what was kind of weird that I got that text, and then like. I go to Bengal Jim's Twitter because someone sent me that. Yep. And I was like, because Bengal Jim has done stuff like that before. If you've read between the lines, he's done that before. So it's like, it definitely is interesting.
Yeah, bro, he has. Who did he do it to last year? He did it with somebody, and it was completely true. Who did we sign? Not Nick Scott. Who did we sign last year?
I know, I'm trying to think. It couldn't have been Orlando because that one was a shocker.
Yeah, not Orlando. Fuck, dude. I think he was on top of, even ahead of Zim, he was on top of Foster Moreau being in Cincinnati. Like, I don't know exactly how plugged in Bengals Jim is, but that dude's
fucking. See, but he had an actual, like, confirmation of something that happened last year. I just can't remember what it was. Yeah.
I don't recall either, but nonetheless, dude's plugged in. He was. Kind of seemed like he was beating around the bush a little bit with it, right? Actually, maybe not a ton, but no one's officially came out that he has been here. So, why is he here? Look, largely his bro here. But like Drake, you said, bro, I'm pretty sure Jamar's out in Cali right now. Maybe he flew back tonight. I don't know. With the dog, you know, Joe is obviously home. So,
I mean, Jamar's been. Twitter Warren on, you know, he's been getting the people riled up. He said today, he was like, let the people know. JJ, tag him. He was like, wait, let me find the exact tweet because that would do ourselves a disservice if I didn't read the actual
tweet. Bro, I realize how crazy this thread is under this post. I mean, oh my God, bro, how many fucking ads are.
So basically, Jamar said today, I think a lot of people were reading this and wondering, said, this will be crazy story to tell. And then Willie Lutz, shout out Willie, he says, are they fucking trading for Justin Jefferson? So Jamar quote retweets him and he says, at Justin Jefferson, please answer these people, LOL. I don't know why they think I'm calling the shots. What are you doing, yo?
I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
Crazy. But a reality is like, you can't tamper. That can be a violation, right? Because, like, that's in the contract. Not allowed to do that. Like, a couple years ago, their first round pick, why? Because they were proven guilty of illegally tampering with Tom and Bill. Coming Dolphins, which is crazy, right? And while they were Patriots, that's why. That'd be like the Steelers trying to tank. So you're not allowed to do that, technically. Fuck. Maybe that's why it's low key. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, bro. Like, what if JJ's like, in Cincinnati right now. He's just prepared to like tweet out some cryptic shit tomorrow, and next thing you know, they're talking about he's requesting a trade.
I texted you this. Maybe there was a scenario to where it was privately, he was maybe given permission from Vikings FO to seek a trade. But how the fuck is that?
I mean, it makes you wonder, right? Because you saw when Adam Schefter said today, you know, he turned down $30 million a year to. And it's kind of crazy. I get it. It's a whole different position. It's kind of similar to Orlando Brown when he was turning down all that money from Kansas City. They were going to pay him even more in Kansas City, and he just kept turning it down. And, you know, that could be a similar situation with JJ. Just seeing what their team's at right now with the quarterback. I mean, who the fuck wants to commit long-term to saying, hey, Sam Darnold's my quarterback this year, and I'm going to put all my trust into whoever we draft next year. I just don't think that would be his type of mindset, bro. Justin just seems like a winner, bro. And I think he was trying to get it done with Kirk there, and now Kirk's gone.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, obviously, like, let's be objective here. That
sure, yeah.
Has loved Dakota, right? And I'm sure that there's, I don't know, maybe this dude is avidly like considering looking elsewhere. I don't know. Most likely, not. So he probably is pretty committed with the Vikings. But like, legitimately, here's what, like, okay, like you are entering year five of your career. You the month or five, if you're great, right? Which you're great now. 5 more years. Potentially 2 more years of question marks at quarterback play. Because I'm going to tell you right now, AJ, you're waiting 2 years for great quarterback play. Have you been able to happen? Yes, you've been able to put up your numbers. Your team has been able to put up the numbers. Your team won a playoff game. You want to win in your prime. You can win now here. Yes, maybe you do. But you get the young JJ McCarthy or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's probably where his mind's at. That, you know what? Maybe I'm just ready to fucking win now.
Yeah.
Let's go home next year. Let's go back to NOLA for a championship run with a team I know.
Why did I never think about that?
Yeah. This can be the year of the Saints or whatever. That actually sounds kind of odd because they're not Saints. But whatever the fuck. Like the Louisiana Crown or that cool fucking logo they got, like the year of the something, you know? Like, let's make it like that. The stars are low key starting to align. Like, this started.
It started cute.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a shooting star. Now, this star is like
forming.
God, like, it's touching earth. It's touching earth. Like, this is starting to touch grass. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, Zim gave it a 12 today. That shocked me. I had another dude say it's 14. For me right now, legitimate, with everything we laid out, with how satire I get, I think I'm funny as hell. Maybe I'm a dipshit to 95% of people. I have no idea. I do have dipshit humor. So, but, like, with all the satire, throwing it all aside, straight up, 1 out of 100% wise of this happening, I would say 8. And like before, it was like 0.05, 2%.
You said Zim said 12?
Yeah, he said 12.
Wow. And I mean, based on it, I mean, it's all dependent upon how people, you know, rate their scales. But I think with us, the fact that you're at like 8, I think that's still like a big difference, you know what I mean?
Well, here's the exciting part, bro. JJ requests a trade. Joe fucking eyeballs, and you say we're not going to even consider looking into it. The Bengals looked into Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
At the Bengals going to look into it? I mean,
They would be dumb not to, obviously. Yeah, I think they would look into that. I mean, come on now. Like, you got Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase in your building. Who is the last person? Yeah, bro.
Is you have this offense outside? Yes, you are putting it into a basket. That's a risk, right? It's all a fucking risk. The Bengals have a chance to do something legendary. Like,
you know what that move would be?
What's up?
You know what that move would be?
What?
Like, basically, I saw today how the Ravens signed Saquon, obviously. And it was like, you know what?
Oh.
The Bengals traded for JJ. It'd be like the biggest slap in their face. Like, ha. Like, you know what I mean? And then you look at the other situation. It's like, I don't know, man. It makes a lot of sense, in my opinion. Obviously, it would probably be difficult. But, like, man, like, what a better, like, franchise team, bro. Like, historically, I can't even imagine, like, telling people, you know, 20 years from now how this team was, bro. And Bengals need to get their ring, bro. You know, are the Bengals committed on getting a Super Bowl ring? You know, and talk about the Ravens thing. Them going after JJ in a blockbuster-type trade like that, bro, would speak volumes on, hey, we are not letting the Chiefs win three straight. We're not going to let them come back and win another ring. We're, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to get Justin fucking Jefferson, and we're going to go all in. Yep. I think you can look at it from that angle too. But yeah, bro, the fact that we were talking about it being at 0.01%, 0.1% at one time, and now it's kind of higher than that. I think, like I said, Kirk Cousins leaving changed a lot.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. Yeah, so crazy day on Twitter. You know, credit to you, man. You know, you posted some great stuff. You gained a lot of followers. I gained a lot one day. And did not expect that to take 30 minutes. But obviously got some updates with DJ Reader, bro. What you got?
I mean, saw it tonight. Malik Wright was on it first. Then Mike Garofolo and everybody tried to follow up after, which is kind of messed up. But anyways, yeah, DJ Reader, man, set to visit with the Lions on Thursday. I actually broke this a couple days ago before anyone mentioned, you know, interest or teams that might be looking at him. And I went out because I've been hearing about it. What do you say?
You texted me that 2 days
ago. Yeah, like I that was before I even tweeted it out. So it was like, I don't know, I've been hearing for a while that Detroit has, like, they like DJ Reader a lot. They want him on their defensive line. And I think that's when you see that visit and everything come about with that, you see it. Now, from the other perspective, it's like DJ Reader wants to be here, bro. He doesn't want to leave. He wants to stay put. He does, you know, that would be most beneficial for him, is to stay put, not have to go anywhere. But man, like, you get that report. I think it was kind of a lucrative move, right, from the agent. Basically, like, hey, we got a visit on Thursday. We're giving you a day tomorrow to match the offer and basically cancel out this visit. So I think tomorrow is going to be a very interesting day to see about DJ Reader's future, because I don't know, man. I don't know. I think if he goes on that visit Thursday, bro, I think it's good as goodbye.
I agree. Yeah, like,
that, and that's me talking as, like, an educated fan. Like, I'm not even saying that as, like, I've heard that. I just think that's just logical sense. Like, he leaves Cincinnati without a deal, and he goes to Detroit on Thursday. It's, yep, not looking good.
I agree, bro. This chance, like, me and you totally think a lot of, with a ton of things. And it's funny, like I thought of the idea right before I scrolled on Twitter and I saw your response talking about the same thing of it's out to realize how often visits are scheduled in the following day. This was intentional in my that it was scheduled for Thursday. Like my idea is the clock is officially ticking down. They set the clock. Here's your timer. You got 36 hours.
Well, that's why if anyone saw my Twitter today, I posted the hourglass, you know, upside down.
Yeah, exactly, bro. So the clock is officially ticking. That's the outlook on it. Like you said, my opinion as well, if he goes to Detroit, they will give him an offer he can't
refuse. I agree.
Getting up to potentially even 15 if they let him. If he lets them, I should say. So, yeah, it's pretty clear. It's known he wants to stay. He's given all the chance to do that. And I feel really confident that the Bengals end up biting and they give what he wants tomorrow. That's my take. I just have a gut feeling about it. We've talked a lot about intuition, right?
Yeah.
Charm. And look, dude, these things take time. It comes back to what it's been all along. This shit with DJ is sticky. Like, if it wasn't the injury, it'd still be tough because you're talking about bigger money, right? You're probably talking 17, 18, potentially even 20 million.
Exactly.
Would the Bengals have been playing the market? I don't know. Like, we know how amazing DJ is. I don't know. Nonetheless, still sticky. I think it's a good sign. The agent finally put a stamp on this that, you know what, offers have been spewing back and forth.
Yeah. Both
Lions have been calling. They've been flirting. You got to, if DJ hits that flight and he goes into that building in Detroit tomorrow, probably gone. So we'll see what transpires with it tomorrow.
Yeah, bro. And it's just like, I don't know. The way I view it and look at it, I know a lot of people are talking about Tier Tart and guys like that, that you can sign. Oh, you can sign two defensive tackles. You know what I mean? But I look at it, bro, and it's like, you're a championship team. You're a contending team. And you see all these other teams. Like Tennessee is going crazy right now. They are building that defense into craziness. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I look at it from this perspective of the Bengals side, and it's like, if we do not re-sign DJ Reader with what's left on the free market, we're getting worse.
Alarms, siren.
That's what I'm saying. Even if you want to say, like, we're investing into Tier Tart and then we're going to go draft guy, like, it still concerns me. Like, it concerns me a lot just looking at, because last year we saw, like, we didn't have the best run stuffing game like we always have, and you saw it because of the safeties. I think that had a big impact too on the run game. So it's like, imagine a world where, okay, now you don't have Jesse Bates. You could potentially get Von Bell, but say you don't have those guys, and then now you lose your best premier interior defensive lineman. It makes no sense, and it would be a move that, like, you're going backwards, you know, and you're trying to prove something of wanting to contend and go win a Super Bowl. And DJ Reader is that move, because I'm telling you right now, when it gets into the colder months, when it gets into January, when it gets into the playoffs, you do not want to play with fire. You're not. I mean, I do not want to see guys running all over us like in the Nick Vigil era. Not to say it would get that bad, but it looked pretty freaking bad last year. And we're kind of, I mean, you do that to Lou.
Yeah, bro, that was with DJ. Like, it was wrong with him. I don't want good, but let's make that clear. Was he as great as 22 DJ? No, because I DJ, bro, 22 DJ, like, he was undoubtedly the best nose tackle in football in 22. 23 was very, very, very good. Probably top three, top five nose tackle play. Still struggling the way you did. Yeah, bro. I do not want to imagine a world without him. Like,
and if you want to be honest, the only way is if you're like, okay, we're going to trade
for Justin Jefferson in hopes that we'll put up 50 points a game. Because, like, but that's not the smart way to operate either. I think you have to go in tomorrow, bro. You have to give him a deal. I've been hearing that it's actually looking like a 2-year. I thought it was looking like a 1-year. So 2 years could be 2 years. 2 years on the table, but the Bengals, man, it's kind of like I told you this today, bro. They're so close, B-Things. He just wants a couple more million. That's all. Yeah. We talked about this in the last few episodes. That is, I know you reiterated into maybe like an Eli Apple, but we talked about this on another episode. That can feed his family. That can provide for generations down the line. That yeah. extra $2 million.
Yeah. So, like I said, my intuition that this money will be spent. I'll end it with it. As we go so deep tonight. Look, man, give us some credit, but you know, you guys got some major value here. You know, just to call it like it is, like some insight, Drake, in many respect for him. I think, Drake, you do an incredible job with not overstepping your boundaries with the information you know, don't know. But when it's came to, you know, DJ, you are there, obviously, to me, that's verified, plugged in, right? And you've been great. Not many people have this insight, guys. So, like, a lot of the information we just relayed, only the verified, the Mike Garofolos may tweet out. So, and correctly popped out. Guy who knows Joe, who is with JJ. And that was interesting in and of itself. So the Nuggets here tonight in the weeds, but extremely. The bank got to do. They've made good moves so far. Like, signing Joe Mixon, phenomenal move. Like, I did not expect to be this satisfied with the Joe Mixon departure. Credit to the FO. Credit to the FO for Geno Stone. It'll make something right, all right? They got money to spend. We just got to be patient. Tomorrow, shit will get shaken.
Yeah, man. Hopefully, like I said, some news will transpire tomorrow. I'm glad that he put a stamp on it. You know, hey, we got the visit set for Thursday, yep. And you have 24 hours pretty much to lock in this deal and get it done.
Look, bro. Look, I've been recovering for fucking 3 months in rehab here again. I don't right. want to leave.
Exactly.
I like Cosgrave. All right? I like my guys I'm rehabbing with. I don't want to fucking leave. I will give you an extra day. Make it the fuck happen. Period, bro. Period. That's why I get why Bengals are frustrated. So, fortunately, I know the Bengals see that. Duke sees that. The language just has to be figured out. I feel the Bengals are going to get it right. And that's what we're expecting, man. So, that'll probably do it. You know, obviously, guys, we're going to keep up to date with any emergency pods as well.
Before we end, though, I know you said alarms. So, if the world – say worst case scenario, right? Tomorrow we go on, it's 10 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock, clock strikes past 12, okay? And we hit Thursday. Is that, I know it's alarms in terms of DJ Reader, but I'm saying what, like, is that alarms for our defense too, right?
Fuck yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who the fuck do we have?
I mean, if we're being honest, obviously we know Chris Jones is – 3-tech, you know, can get after the quarterback, but bro, DJ Reader is like our Chris Jones to our defense. And it's like, imagine if Chris Jones left this offseason, the Chiefs defense. I think it would have had a serious impact on that defense. It would have.
Yeah. You know what? We'll drag this on for just a couple more minutes. I thought, look, there are three dudes, at least to me right now with my limited knowledge. I haven't looked at the complete market of the defensive line. Sheldon Rankin, Tier Target, DJ. Of those three, you either have to secure DJ back, or if you do not, you better fucking guarantee me Delta Rankins and Tier Tart. Both of them. Period. If you don't get DJ. So that's a pressure, right? Because I'm telling you right now, there's not nobody reaching out. He's got his ringing. Like, I know it's popping. Tier Tart, I know his phone's ringing. So you got a lot of pressure on you that if you do not manage to get DJ back, you got both of those guys. Or
you're gonna, like I said, you're going to overpay when that market starts to dry up and teams are needing a guy like that, and they're willing to overpay.
Yeah,
you're going to have to overpay, and then you're gonna look back at it like, damn, I should have just gave DJ the money.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, dude, look at what the three techs are getting paid this year. Oh my god, it is insanity.
Yeah, bro.
Delta Rankin's money. That motherfucker's gonna ask for 13, 15 million, probably.
Buddy. I'm saying, like,
yeah, bro, like, don't. Okay, like, you can't afford it, man. You can't afford it. So, yeah, I'd just really be beating a drum at this point. You know, just repeat. Yeah, that's that. Sounds pretty clear. Probably, you know, to a lot of people, tomorrow is a big day, but they got the money and they're gonna make shit happen. So I'm excited for it.
So are you pissed off we don't get this deal done with DJ?
Fuck yeah, bro. I'm fucking pissed off. Oh my gosh, bro.
Like you said, you losing arguably Joe Mixon, Tyler Boyd, DJ Reader, Cheeto. I mean,
god, bro. Yeah, just wow. That, yeah.
I mean, poor Lou Anarumo. Poor Lou.
Yeah. It's tough. Like, in the same way, poor Lou Anarumo, he got a stacked secondary now.
Yeah.
Like, there, I stacked 10. Some question marks with Drago, I guess, right? You know, I don't think they're going. So that's a plus. You know, it's not like they're leaving him dry completely. But yeah, I mean, and you lose DJ? Oh, yeah. Like, that's horrible. Down bad for sure. So we'll see. We'll be back with you guys with any emergency updates. Our next episode is of the Reader signing for our emergency pod. Like I said on the last one, if there's super low key signings like Tanner Hudson, we're not hopping on. Like, I expect him to be back. It just depends. It's a matter of time once he's back. The Bengals probably aren't in a major rush because they got two tight ends already. Beyond that, should wrap it up, man. You got any closing thoughts?
I think the interesting one was a guy on the free market. I can't remember his name, bro. He was a nose tackle. The Bengals were, like, in the market for him.
Malcolm Roach?
Yeah.
Yep, they were. Yeah.
So, I mean, I just hope they get some done here with DJ, bro. I understand getting scheme fits and stuff like that, bro. But we're at a point right now where we really don't have time to be fucking around and just toying around and trying to try new shit out. Like, I get it. I get that. But at the same time, you have to be able to reclaim your stars on both offense and defense. And you have Trey Hendrickson there, bro. I get it. Great pass rusher. But he's not going to fucking – he can't take that whole D-line over. You know, he's coming off the edge. And if someone throws a double team on him, and then boom, we're playing with fire on, we don't have DJ no more. I'm not comfortable with signing Sheldon Rankins and Tier Tart and all those guys and trying to go win a Super Bowl. I'm not comfortable in it. But maybe the Bengals see something that I don't see. But hopefully, like I said, let's manifest. Let's just get some sleep tonight. I'm going to get some sleep. I promise. I'm going to get some sleep tonight. Maybe that's why. Maybe I need to get some rest for the DJ Reader extension. And then everything will be sound after that. Because, I mean, if there's breaking news that we get a 2-year extension for fucking DJ Reader tomorrow, or even a 3, that would be fucking amazing. I would be ecstatic.
I'll come over and knock on your door if you're not out. That's after me. Nah, man, motherfuckers, B Thames, open up.
Hey, man, DJ just signed, man.
Yeah, man. that's hard to delivering you guys, you know. Appreciate all y'all for listening, and that'll go ahead and do it, man. So,
yes, sir.
Another episode of the All Things Bengals podcast. Peace out,
peace. Peace. Hootie.